212 on the Permaculture Pimpcast, where PIMP stands for Permaculture is My Passion. The only Pimpcast on planet Earth where we discuss permaculture, preparedness, and practical living. How you doing, honey?
Good. How are you?
I'm good. This episode, as always, brought to you by Hickory Ridge Soap from twooldcrowshomestead.com.
Turn that simp into a pimp.
Bam! Peaceful Valley, 10% off with promo code PERMA. All those ballin' seeds over there that we have been using, we've been getting from Peaceful Valley. So, you know, there's some love-hate there in terms of, look, folks are probably wondering, well, dude, why on earth are you talking about them? Look, their shipping isn't wonderful, but they got fantastic seeds. I'm just going to be straight with you because I don't want anybody, Michelle's looking at me like, what is that with
where's,
that?
Where's the hate coming from?
Well, you tell me, what's the one problem we have?
Yeah, they do. The issue with them is if you have one thing in your order that is back ordered, they will hold the whole shipment until that thing comes in and then they'll ship it. And I think they've worked out some things where they have options where you can select otherwise, but they're getting better.
Well, if you're in a big rush for seeds, look, people ask all the time, where do you get your stuff? And I'm just telling you. But in full disclosure, I'm also going to tell you the negative side of it too. But we're working on a pimp blend, and hopefully that's going to be on the shelf here before too long. All right. If you want to tip a pimp, you can do it over there on the Fountain app. Listen to all your podcasts over there, even triple up the speed. And they even have a derivation of Bitcoin over there called Satoshis. So, and for short, they call them sats. So if you want to drop a SAT on a PIMP, you know where to do it over on the Fountain app. So been a busy last couple of, well, last week especially. Yeah. Yeah. Well, I was at the East Tennessee Homestead Alliance, and that kind of left you here for, what was it, a day? Having to figure out how to...
Couple days. I had plenty to do to stay busy.
Well, I left the day of, well, that first day I helped you move the animals, and then we made big enough paddocks to where you could kind of let them go for a couple of days, and that seemed to work out just fine. So that was a really, really awesome event, especially in terms of all the new people that I met and some old ones that I hadn't seen in a while. So Carrie, we had on the show the other day. Joel, we had him on Monday. So there hasn't been a regular podcast like we typically do in the studio, like we're doing on Thursday. But, and honestly, that turned out to be a blessing in disguise with all the weird stuff. We'll cover most of that in the topic here, as you can probably tell. Actually, we're not going to cover it in the way that you suspect. But with all that stuff going on, I'm glad that I posted interviews that were kind of timely and more important, because I think it's way more important than the stuff going on. But anyway, out there, you know, met that guy, one of the guys that's real big into the horizontal bees that you've been telling me about for a while. After, you know, linking up, I think his name is Adam.
Yeah. With Bee Kept.
Yeah, or... Bee Kept. I mean, really astonishing guy, he and his wife and what they're doing, and hearing their story about how they moved from California, made it out to Tennessee, and did it all on a wing and a prayer. And you see so many and hear so many of those stories within the homestead realm. And you know, like Carrie the other day, he was there at the East Tennessee Homestead Alliance, and I hadn't seen him in a while. And it was cool to catch up with him and then meet a whole new gang of people out there, permaculture designers, people like Grant and a number of others that I'm going to have on the show, y'all. That's really, and I tell you this all the time, that the biggest, it's not going to these events and maybe even meeting the speakers as much as it is meeting other people out there. So you make these fantastic contacts, and these, you know, you just wish that these were people that lived right next to you. And I'm talking about a lot of the people that came up to us and people that talked to us and all those wonderful things. It's just never enough of you to go around and try to talk to all the folks that you would like to. And so, you know, it's a bittersweet thing, but met a lot of homestead and permaculture designers, like, you know, like I mentioned, Carrie and Grant and a number of others on there. And I'm going to really spend more time, as much as I can, trying to do more interviews with people so that you get another perspective. I mean, it's one thing. I know a lot of you tune in to hear our perspective on things, but it's always really, really good when you hear it from somebody else, because, you know, I was kind of taking notes yesterday as Carrie was talking. I'm thinking, man, that's really awesome. That's really awesome. That's something I'd like to do. And then looking at his website, I'm like, okay, man, there's some things there that are really, really attractive. And then, of course, when you have Joel on, man, it's just always, I mean, you know that, you know, I was kind of laughing as the music was playing, because we had to do his on Zoom. So we didn't, where he is and where his computer capabilities are there, they couldn't use StreamYard, which is what we typically do. And I was just imagining playing this music, because I remember when I interviewed Greg Judy and I played that music and he just kind of recoiled a little bit, like, whoa, what's that? And then he kind of smiles, because it's like he doesn't even know what he's hearing. I guess he's expecting to hear some banjos or whatever. And he started hearing the Gap Band, and he just, and I could be imagining it, but I could almost see him kind of head thumping a little bit. I said, I could be imagining it.
You were 100% imagining that.
Yeah.
Nobody likes the Gap Band.
Well, I know Greg, when I saw the look on his face, I was just imagining Joel, because I wasn't able to play. I played the music, but he couldn't hear it. That's why there were some of those technical faux pas in there. But anyway, I was just kind of imagining. So what else did we do? So after I got back, I mean, the very next day, we went out to the orchard, to the blueberry orchard. We met Mike and Lacey from the Fit Farmer and Sprinkle with Soil, Tim and Sophie. We all met down there to do some promos and kind of look the area over again for the Homesteaders United Jamboree. And then the next day, everybody stayed at our house. And, you know, it was the next day. And then all of a sudden, what did we do? Had to process a sheep.
Yep.
So, well, actually, sheep.
Two.
Yeah, two sheep. So that would be plural. Yeah, so process two sheep. And which ones did we pick out, Michelle, and why?
Well, we picked out two that were not good mothers. They gave us the one two times, gave us an unhealthy lamb. And the other one gave us an unhealthy lamb this year. It was her first time, but she's
not we're not playing that game. Nope. Just like Greg always taught. I mean, you know, the person we got them from said, oh, just give her another shot. And I was like, all right, it might have been a little bit of stress there.
Yeah, which in the one of them's case, there was the move. There was adjusting to new forage. I can understand that. We gave her another shot. It didn't work out. The other one that we ended up processing was born here last year. There is no reason for her to give us an unhealthy lamb.
Should have been well adapted. Right. Should have been very well adapted, having been born here. So she didn't make it either. And it's always a tough thing, y'all, when you take life on a homestead, no matter how many times you do it. And that's part of the reason why I think you shouldn't do it every day, is that you should feel something when you take the life of something. And those animals are going to be used at the Homesteaders United Jamboree. So they are literally right now hanging in a cooler, and good night, man. They're going to be hanging for quite a while. And that's a good thing, because the chefs are going to love it. You know, those enzymes are going to come together and they're going to make some really, really good tasting meat. So yeah, we're looking forward to that. So that was, I'll tell you what was really a joy in that whole process, is watching their kids, because you can see the difference in farm kids. And I told you this much.
Yeah.
Good night. Tim and Sophie's oldest girl, man, she's right out there in the middle of it, skinning these animals. And you can see, you can just tell by the way she's doing it, that she feels empowered knowing how to do this. Mike's daughter, Selah, what a sweet temperament she has, you know, and she was out there doing a lot of filming. Also, when she could, you know, helping out, weren't complaining. It was hot, you know, it was all those things. And they were just absolute. You could see the difference from kids. And look, I'm not dogging anybody who didn't raise kids on a farm, but you do see a difference. They know to help out. They don't complain. They pitch in. And I mean, just wonderful children all the way around, man. I mean, you know, they're precocious. They're curious. All of them were. And that's the part that I think is most joyful when you do this work, is that you see where most of us weren't brought up in this environment. And you know that you're raising the next generation in this environment. And you know just how empowered. I mean, think about when these young ladies get older. I mean, not only do they have all the skills that any other kid would have, but I mean, these are almost superpowers.
Yeah. Yeah. Especially processing like sheep and like deer, if they wanted to, you know.
Yeah.
They decided to.
Yeah. I was just really, really so. I just kind of stood back for a minute and I told you, I was like, man, you know, it's so awesome when you see people with these kids that are just so into it that it just gives you just such incredible joy. And they're so young. Mm-hmm. It's like what some people were talking about with mixed martial arts, where, you know, when it first started, you know, you had guys that came from a discipline, let's say boxing, and then they gained some other disciplines. And then I kept hearing people say, man, can you imagine what the next generation is going to be like?
Right.
Where they started out young,
right,
learning all these skills that it's a developing sport and you just can't even imagine what they're going to have. And I'm seeing the same thing in the homesteading realm when we see so many kids get involved with this. So it gives me ideas for things that we might potentially want to do in the future regarding that. So, yeah, but we also got to pick a lot of strawberries. Blueberries down at the blueberry orchard. Folks, if you haven't been there, Michelle, have you ever seen better picking at this orchard?
No. Well, that first year we went, it was pretty good. But the only time we have a bat, like if we go late in the season like we did last year, that's our fault. But like I have never had a bad time picking at that orchard. It's always like the you can stand at one blueberry bush and just about fill up your 1 gallon bucket.
Yeah, that wasn't the case last year. Like you said, we got there late.
Yeah, that was because we went late. That wasn't their fault.
But I mean, these are like, I mean, we had, you know, when you go late, you're gonna have to get the stuff at the center of the bush, you know, that a little more difficult to get to. But I mean, out there, you know, what was blowing my mind today is that nobody was there.
I know.
I'm like, okay, so let's do the math on this, y'all, because I've done it. Check this out. Here's why I'm going to tell you to go to your local blueberry orchard. And honestly, the best in North Carolina is right here, Cloud Nine Farm in Fletcher, North Carolina. And it's also just happens to be the place where we're going to be doing the Jamboree, which I'm super excited about. As far as, I mean, that location is, I can't think of a better location. I'm tired of the antiseptic locations in other places. This one is going to be something else. Now, here's what makes it really, really awesome in terms of picking out there. Number one, I don't know why for the life of me anybody would go out there and buy your superfood at a grocery store if you got an option to do otherwise. Because a little pint, it may even have been a half pint, they wanted $8.
Yeah, it's expensive.
$8 for a half pint. You can get a whole gallon out there if you pick it for 15.
And it's not been sprayed.
No, there's no junk on it. And, you know, and honestly, the number one, when you buy blueberries out of season, anybody out there is going to know what I'm talking about. Number one, they ain't even close to organic. Number two, they probably had slave labor out there, like you said earlier, for $1 an hour picking this stuff. And number three, let them sit on the counter for a couple of days and watch what happens.
Yeah.
What are you going to see?
They're going to go bad.
You're going to see fungus all over.
Yeah.
Yep. So you can go out there, hit a place like this. And folks, I'm not just saying this we got ours. I mean, we're probably going to go back a time or two more, but I mean, we got 2 gallons today. We got what, quarter of a gallon the other day when we were out there doing the filming and stuff.
Yeah.
But I probably ate as many as, I mean, even today, I probably ate as many as I picked, and they don't charge you for those. But anyway, that's the beauty of going to an orchard, to an apple orchard, if you want to go. Or plus it's, we were both out there getting sun, which we normally don't have a problem doing
with our shoes off.
Yeah. So you can go out there, folks. If you're anywhere near Western North Carolina, go out there. I'm telling y'all, that picking is stellar. And it's like you're not even reaching up half the time. Mm-mm. I could have filled everything I had probably on 2 bushes in 1 gallon. And that's really something else. So folks, I mean, I don't mean to belabor it, but I'm telling you, you want to go out there, there's going to be this. If I do any job at all at trying to weave this little tapestry, you're going to know by the main event here, the main topic here, why I'm telling you to go out here and do this stuff. So, you know, another little thing, and I guess you could say this is farm news, but if I'm good at anything, if I have a superpower at anything, it's the ability to notice patterns in things. Now, not all things, but I can't tell you what shirt Michelle was wearing. I don't know this, notice those kind of patterns, but other patterns I'm really, really good at noticing. And it's, like I said, everybody's got a superpower. I guess maybe that's mine. So it makes me good in terms of being an analyst when it comes to news. It makes me good in terms of being an analyst regarding other things, but not with everything. And I'll let you know what those things are. But I'm telling you what, man, if folks only knew how many, and I don't know what is causing this, but every guy I know that has a family that I know very well is in some kind of illness.
Or dealing with something like, well, yeah, I guess they are physical. They are physical illnesses.
It's like, they all seem to have physical ailments, and it all seems to be, and I don't know what's going on here. And
like major.
Yeah. Yeah. It's debilitating almost. Right. And I won't go in and give you all the examples why, but I'm talking the people I know that are closest to me, the people that I know very well. It's like every guy in that, or every head of the household, seems to be dealing with some sort of medical issue. And I don't know. I mean, I know that's not really farm news, but it's an observation that I made today. And so that's just one of those weird observations. So I'm wondering if other people out there have noticed the same exact thing. So so that's pretty much the farm news. Outside of, I'm a person that never remembers his dreams. Almost never. I mean, maybe two out of the year, maybe. But I remembered this one this morning, and that's what Michelle's kind of chuckling about. And this is odd. I don't know what this could mean. And don't ask me why I'm even telling you right now, but I'm just going to tell you. I had this dream when I woke up, you know, that I was back in the electric trade. And on my crew was George Strait. He was like part of the crew. And everybody knows he's George Strait. And everybody in this dream is like wanting to go up there and talk to him. And George is like being very, very kind and polite. And he's like, oh, okay, good to meet you, fellas. But you know that he's just wanting to get back to doing some electric work. So they hide him someplace. And he's on the crew still. He's hiding him. And he's just as happy as a clam doing electric work in this little, I don't know what it was. And I'm like, I can't believe I'm on the crew with George Strait. And I'm like, what kind of stupid dream is this? I don't know, man. If anybody can interpret dreams and make sense of that one, please let me know. George Strait doing electric work. And here I was back with my tools on. So what that means, I have no idea at all. So anyway, George, if you're listening out there, bro, you can be on my crew anytime. I love your music. Anyway, Homesteaders United Jamboree. Remember, we were just talking about that. August 29th through the 31st. We're going to be there. William is going to be there. He's going to be coming in, and he's going to be helping me out with this stuff. So I'm really looking forward to that. You even got some family coming down. Michelle's cousin. She's going to be here. Melanie. Really looking forward to her.
Well, William and his family will be here. Not just William.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. William. Yeah. My grandbaby better show up this time with the grandbaby. And Melanie, if you're listening, I'm telling you right now, I'm going to have to snatch her out of your arms because I know.
William. Yeah.
Melanie is like the baby whisperer.
Yeah, she is. And when William was a baby, he absolutely loved Melanie.
All babies love Melanie.
Yeah. But yeah.
I mean, I don't know.
So what now it is. William's baby, yeah, I'm sure she's going to be.
I remember the first time he was in there crying, acting up. You know, it wasn't mom and dad that can make him be quiet. It was Melanie.
Yeah.
So, yeah, she's going to be down. Cousin Melanie, looking forward. Maybe she'll bring Scott, her husband, with her. I'm not sure, but she'll be here. So we'll have a full house, and I'm really looking forward to it. And so not only the Jamboree, but also we're going to have some family here and some other family here. and we're all going to be one big family. So really looking forward to that. All right, y'all, Redemption Shield. Michelle, where are your feet supposed to? Yep, right there on that mat. So if you got any grounding or any issues like that, y'all, I mean, we are the world's biggest proponents of, ask Mike and Lacey, ask Tim and Sophie who are here this weekend. What you can't find, what you will not find in just about everywhere in this house, you're going to find a grounding mat from Redemption Shield.
In the bathroom.
In the kitchen, in the living room, you name it. Most houses aren't, unless you got hardwood floors that are literally hardwood floors, and even then you probably got to test it. You're not really grounded in your house, or unless you got concrete floors or something like that. But if you got carpet on or anything like that, you're still not grounded. And then this little experiment that I did with Sophie when she was here. You got cotton socks. Guess what?
Oh, I don't think I was.
Yeah, I did around. A little experiment with her. So she was wearing cotton socks and she put her foot on the mat and she didn't get any continuity. Mm-hmm. But I put my feet on there with wool socks. Perfect.
Okay.
So yeah, animal fibers. Yeah, it works. So you can be out there in your socks in the grass. I don't know who would want to do that, but you are welcome to it. So, hey, you know, one more thing I wanted to point out too regarding the sheep that as far as processing. Okay. So we're getting in the, you know, we're in the summer. I'm just going to kind of go back a little bit because I think this might help some people in terms of your processing. Now think about this. When you get into the fall months and everything, okay, the forage is not going to be what it was in spring. You got to know that. So when you're thinking about thinning out the herd, you know, processing the sheep right now, we got little ones out there and they're growing up. So we've removed two adults. So now the little ones have more forage. I mean, they had enough already, but it's easing into that time where we're going to be getting into the fall and then ultimately the winter. Right. I don't want to be carrying a full flock or herd or anything else during the winter because I'm going to be using stockpiled grazing and stuff like that. So the only thing that'll be left here is basically going to be Walter, which is basically our Judas sheep, and also the females. So that's part of the strategy also. And so here before long, when the boys get a little bit older, I'm going to decide whether or not we want to put them in the freezer or whether we want to sell them as meat, you know, for somebody that wants to process them. Or it could be done in a processing class or something like that. My calendar is so doggone full, I'm not sure that's going to be a good option. But I'll tell you what I'm not going to do. And I've raised these animals. I know how well they were looked after. They weren't given any junk. And what I'm not going to do is drop them off at a processor.
No,
I'm not going to do that. So it's either somebody, when the time comes, either I'm going to decide to process them myself, or I'm going to sell them off for a homesteader to process, maybe a former student or something that's been through any of my processing courses. Might even, who even knows? It might even be some, there you go. There's a giveaway to give. We can give a giveaway at the Homesteaders Jamboree. We'll do a raffle for a couple of sheep. Yeah. So, so we'll have a couple of weathers here before long, but that's what you want to be thinking about. When you ease into the end of the year, you got to start thinking about which stock, unless you're going to be feeding a ton of hay, you got to be asking yourself, which stock is the best? Which are the ones I want to hang on to and which ones need to go into the freezer? So at this point, I mean, you essentially could have a self-licking ice cream cone. If you don't mind eating sheep, which is my favorite meat, especially these hair sheep. If you don't mind doing that, y'all, this is one of those things. You know what? I'll just cover hopefully more of this in the main topic. All right. With that said, we're going to go into the good news section. So check this out, honey. No immunity for Monsanto. Oregon court overturns Monsanto/Bayer victory in ongoing Roundup trial. Well, Bayer, the way this story reads is that Bayer basically bought Monsanto, as you well know. And they were thinking, okay, well, all of the stuff that happened with glyphosate Roundup that they've been spraying, they thought those lawsuits would go away. Well, Oregon ain't having it. I know there's a lot of weirdos out there in certain parts of Oregon, but you also got a lot of good people out there too. So, I mean, that's like everywhere. So, point being, they thought they were going to get away with this.
You know, that's the thing. Like, if you look into... They're probably going to get away with most of it, because if you read or listen to Stephanie Seneff's work that she has done on the damage from glyphosate that every single one of us have the like the physical ailments that you have as a result of this, like they should be absolutely bankrupt. But the damage that's done, and they knew about it, and they did, they didn't care, and they did it anyway.
And they knew full well, you know, that reminds me of something else, like Agent Orange.
Right.
They knew at exactly. least a decade and a half before what it would do to American and Vietnamese
and they in Vietnam. Sprayed it all, not only Vietnam, like Laos, Cambodia, sprayed it all over those countries.
Well, not to mention all of the soldiers that are now dead. I know two of them that I worked with at the VA back up in Leavenworth, worked on those planes. Your dad almost certainly worked on those planes when he was stationed up in Alaska.
And now it is a given, like if you get the kind of cancer that my dad died from, it's a presumptive condition. If you served and you did certain work, they just assume you got that cancer from your service. This is the kind of stuff that Bayer and Monsanto have done in hand with our government.
Yeah. Like,
and so I'm sure they're going to get a slap on the wrist, but it is not anywhere close to what they should be getting.
No, I mean, and then there's going to be something else I reveal here as well, where it's kind of on the same tack, but how many other times, I mean, what kills fascism is basically the merger of corporation and state. And this is a classic example of it, whether it's Agent Orange, whether it's other, I mean, the list is long, not to mention that thing, that jab that they were giving to everybody else out there. And like I said, I got a story coming up about that, and I'm going to call that one good news. But in terms of that story, that's good news to me. But like you said, they've been getting away with it forever and a day, and they've been joined at the hip with the government. But try telling people out there what's going on without being called, that's a conspiracy theory.
Yeah.
All right. So some other good news here. Take a breath, honey. I know this stuff just drives you crazy, and it ought to. But I mean, going back to those two guys at the VA, both of them, or one of them for sure, Bob, I knew him well, died, you know. And the other guy, I don't know, but I know that. I can't even tell you the number of veterans I knew that were suffering from this stuff. You know, that, that nurse Joyce Riley, remember her?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That she had been the big, and she died ultimately too, from the stuff they were being jabbed up with during the first Gulf War. They called it the Gulf War syndrome, and they knew full well that it was that crap that they were shooting into the soldiers. They want to say it's the burn pits. They want to claim everything. And what was it? You know, mysteriously a fire just happened to be, happen at the VA office where all those records were kept in St.
Well,
Louis.
Well, also there were some records kept at the Murrah Building in Oklahoma City.
Oh yeah.
Go listen to, Cody Snodgrass wrote a book about it.
Yeah.
There's some, yeah. Look into Cody Snodgrass and what documents were kept at the Murrah Building.
Yeah, it's sick all the way up one side, and then you still can't get people to recognize these things for, or even slightly see them for what they are, because they themselves are not that wicked. But when you look at pages of history, I mean, it is long. I batted around the idea of doing another podcast where I talk about this stuff, because people are like, well, how do you just remember this stuff? I have to. And when I was doing radio years ago in Kansas City at KMBZ, I had to memorize this stuff. I had to, because people would say, oh, that's not true. Where's your proof? You give them the proof. Oh, what are you, some kind of conspiracy nut? I'm like, you asked me for the proof. And then your response is, are you some kind of conspiracy nut? Like,
how much does our government have to do before people will get to the point where they don't trust them? I don't understand. There are decades and decades and decades of behavior from our government and proof and these corporations, and yet people will automatically, you see something on TV and your first reaction should be, I don't believe a word you're saying. I'll verify before I believe anything.
Yeah.
But that's not people's reactions. People's reaction is like, oh, okay. I believe every word you're telling me.
Yeah, even though if you knew a person that lied 1/100th to the extent that the government and the politicians and the news media does, you wouldn't, if they told you the sun rose in the east, you go out there and look. And, but people just still blindly accept this stuff. You know, it was funny. There was a Russian defector, and I'll move on here in a second, but it reminds, I can't remember this doggone name, man, but he had said, and this was back in the 80s, he said, you know, in Russia, we had a media system that was every bit as corrupt as the one you have in America. But the difference is nobody in Russia believed them. That was the difference. So, I mean, here we are, y'all. United. That's why I call it United States of Amnesia. All right. So here's the next good one. Essential oils for prepping. Must-haves for your survival kit. Now, I had the permaculture princess on for a while back, and she's something of an expert on this. I still need to go to her website and go order some of these kits because, frankly, I'm still woefully ignorant about this stuff, but I'm paying more attention. So that's where it begins in every, you know, every lesson, because, you know, you can't rely on the health system. You know, they're part of the same cabal we were just talking about a minute ago. So this one here, eucalyptus essential oil. This is different from the list I gave you before. Some of them's the same, but they're saying, like, if you had to have three, eucalyptus, lavender, and peppermint essential oils. Like, if you just had three and that was all you had, you know, it was funny because Mike and Lacey, they came out here, man, they had a whole kit, which was, I mean, you talk about preparedness, man. That's what I'm talking about. They had a whole kit of, I mean, you name it, it was in that kit if they could, you know, come across anything. So here's the last one, and it kind of goes hand in hand with the first one. And I'm calling this one good news, y'all. Canada's COVID-19 vaccine injury program tops $14 million in payouts, with hundreds of claims still left unpaid. Now, those are the people that have suffered injury. The ones that are dead, they didn't get jack. So this is how it begins. So it seems like the dam is starting to break. I even came across an article. I was going to include it in here where a CDC, former CDC director is now saying, man, this is one of the worst decisions we ever made. But nobody's talking about it because they're talking about other news that has just recently happened. So nobody's talking about any of this big stuff. So just kind of keep that under your hat right now. So expect a change. Expect a couple of big changes coming up soon. All right. With that said, we're going to go into something very useful, and that's my man, Eric Sider.
Hey, Eric Sider here with your PimpCast tip of the day. Today's tip, earth care versus people care. Though permaculture is a human-centered design science, the first ethic of permaculture is earth care. There are probably many people who think people care should come first. It might seem a trivial difference, but it actually has a profound effect on how you approach land development and if you can achieve sustainability or not. Sustainability is a simple energy equation. Focusing on people first ultimately leads to wasted energy. The following question can be asked in two ways. What can I get from this land, or what does this land have to offer if I cooperate with it? This is the difference between prioritizing people care over earth care. I recently experienced this firsthand while helping a friend design out their property. Ideologically, they place people over planet, and the way they approach their property was a perfect example of this. They have a large flat area of lawn surrounding the house and a steep gully at the property boundary. They wanted to leave the flat lawn in place and food forest the gully. Despite my many protestations why this was a bad idea, they had already started a series of footpaths in the gully, so I realized my role at this point was to mitigate erosion, because they were going to continue regardless. So instead of easy access on flat land, we must spend additional energy with terracing, erosion control, planting, etc., etc. All because they decided that this is what I want to do, not what is the best thing for this land. You can find me on YouTube and Instagram at Eric Sider. And if you're in need of permaculture t-shirts or remote permaculture consultation and design, head over to ericsider.com.
I'm starting to think Eric really ought to do his own podcast. Yeah. I mean, really, because, man, he drops so many incredible nuggets on this show. And I'm just floored every single time. And it's funny because at this East Tennessee Homestead Alliance, when there was a time where there was something of a roundtable, and Joel Salatin is moderating the conversation between us permaculture designers. And one of the questions that came up was, regarding that very thing, you know, as far as how to go about your land. And I was like, hang on, let's just drop back a little bit, because I see permaculture and preparedness as one. And I'm paraphrasing basically what I said, but I was like, instead of you worrying about this land, okay, first of all, have you done the basics? Have you considered the prime directive of permaculture? Have you considered the ethics? Have you done all these other things? And Eric is running into exactly what we run into with new homesteaders and even old hands at homesteading, where they're like, okay, I'm going to put pigs out here. Well, is that what the land would have you do in this area? Or
is that efficient? Like,
yeah,
are you making your life extremely complicated by putting your chickens out in the forest?
And I talked about that very thing. It's funny. Yeah. You put your chickens in zone 5. Guess what? Coyotes going to kill them or something else will.
And you're going to have to haul water out to that place every single day.
Unless you want to make the nightmare. I mean, there are so many awesome ways to do this right. But it goes right back to what Eric said, is that, okay, I want swales. Okay, well, you put swales up in this mountain, you're going to have a collapse. You're going to have a catastrophe if you do it in most places, because the grade doesn't support it. But people are not saying, like Eric said, what does this land offer? What will it yield? What makes sense? What? Look at my topography here. And so many of us in this permaculture world, not so much in the permaculture world, but in the homesteading world, because I would say there are distinctions, wouldn't you?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. A permaculture designer is going to look at that landscape so much differently than somebody who's just new to the space. And this is why I highly suggest two things. Number one, get yourself a PDC, a permaculture design certificate. Jeff Lawton has the very best. If you want one that's less expensive, but you're going to get the nuts and bolts of everything you need, check out School of Permaculture. They do it as little as $25 a month. But honestly, I think you would agree, Jeff Lawton has the best PDC probably on the planet.
Yes, he does.
Yeah, but it's going to cost you money. And anything worth having ain't cheap. So start there. Do a little bit of reading. Observe your land. And I don't even care if you get that PDC. Get second and third opinions about what you ought to do out there. Don't, like, for example, in this property, would it ever make sense of putting pigs in our pasture? Never.
No.
Never. I don't even care if you wrung their noses. I don't care if you got Idaho pasture pigs. I don't care what you got out there. It just wouldn't make sense here. So where do we put them? In the woods. And we needed them to clear things up. So not to belabor that too much, because Eric really hit it out of the park there. I just wanted to kind of add to it, folks. I mean, honestly, y'all, homesteaders could be the best thing in the world, but more often than not, they're not.
Yeah.
Overwhelmingly, what we're seeing are people that are saying, well, I got this land. I'm going to get this, 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 and this. Don't do that, y'all. You're going to hate yourself for it, and you're probably going to drop off. And it's doing your chores. Doing chores is a joyful part of my day. It is not for the people that design things poorly. So
yeah, it was not a joyful part of my day when we were in a place where things were highly inefficient, because I was at the time, I was the one that was doing the daily chores, and it just kept getting more and more and more complicated and less efficient, to where it's like hours of your day are taken into what should be like an hour.
If things, yeah. So that's another, you open up another can of worms there, as far as when you work with somebody, man, well, yeah. You cannot have more than one captain on a ship, y'all. And you cannot have a person in charge who is driven by ego or emotions. And in that case, we were dealing with a guy that had both.
Yeah.
I mean, he was driven by his emotions and his ego. He would put in place certain things. And it just made life, it made doing chores drudgery, because everything was in a very, very stupid place. So, yeah. So, folks, I mean, reason why we're going on about this is because you cannot overstate it. Am I wrong?
No.
No, put things where they belong. Get a second, third, fourth opinion. It was funny because I brought up the example of a lady didn't want her garden near her house because she was concerned with snakes. Well, okay, this is why I don't do consulting anymore, because you do it, and a lot of times, most times, people don't do anything. And some people are able to compartmentalize that, saying, hey, I did the job. I told you where it ought to go. But it's also been my experience that people will blame you. You will give them instructions and they will blame you for the instructions that they didn't do. It's like, and I use that example all the time, like in Food Network, go there, look at every recipe. Anybody who gave it a negative, you'll find anybody that gave a negative review of a recipe, you'll find out, you'll read the review and they'll say, well, I didn't have butter, so I used margarine. I didn't have this. They changed 50% of the ingredients and they say the recipe sucks. And that's exactly what happens a lot of times in the consulting area. So take my hat off to people like Eric. So if you need a consultation, go check out Eric. Go, I mean, I'm going to talk to more and more and more designers, and I'm going to try to get a wider view of things out here for everybody out here, especially for these times. And that's really what I'm going to get into here in a moment. But before I do, EMP Shield, $50 off with promo code PERMA. Folks, 27 years, journeyman electrician, they did not reach out to me. I reached out to EMP Shield because they are without a doubt the best. Now, if you're looking for a cheap device to just get the job done, then you're not okay. Go find somebody else because that ain't it. They stand behind their product, which is why I stand behind EMP Shield. If anything in your house gets Kentucky Fried, they're going to cover you for 25 G's. So, consider EMP Shield. Promo code PERMA will get you $50 off. All right. So we're into the main topic here. Now, this topic is basically how much time are you spending thinking about the next shoe to drop? Because a lot of people are. And this is part of why maybe the Lord set it up this way for me not to do a regular show on Monday. And to wait until Thursday, where I had time to kind of cogitate over things and to really, really give me another perspective, consider all the information. And remember, y'all, my superpower is seeing patterns, okay? And I see a lot of them. A lot of them I don't share with you. A lot of them I keep to myself. And more often than not, when I tell Michelle, I mean, it's not that I keep them to myself. Folks, you would be shocked at my track. I'm not saying this to brag. I'm just telling you that I have a pretty good track record of seeing a lot of this stuff and knowing what the next shoe is going to drop. That's why in every single YouTube video as of late, if you look hard, you don't have to look that hard. You'll see a preparedness component in there. And you'll see that in every single thing I'm putting out there, I mean, it can easily overlay with preparedness. And the reason why I'm saying it is because the powers that shouldn't be, you know, the same people that were teamed up with Monsanto, what you're witnessing right now is the strategy of tension. I did a video yesterday about it, and of course, YouTube tanked that one. Usually shorts do pretty well, but that one, they tanked. Because what you're witnessing really is the strategy of tension. I mean, folks, I'm telling you as a person that worked in the newsroom, as a person that worked at a radio station, it was my job to stay abreast of all these things. I am here to tell you right now, more news happens in a week than happens in 6 months. I'm talking consequential, big
or
news.
Six years compared to like when we were kids.
Yeah. Yeah. In a week, a lot of times. Now that's not every single week, but we're talking, I'll give you a prime example. That bridge collapse under ordinary circumstances, we'd be talking about that thing for months.
Or that spill in the intentional inferno in Ohio.
Or go back even before then, the BP oil spill. Nobody's talking about that. Nobody's talking about Fukushima anymore, even though it's spilling all this radiation into, I mean, killing. That's why I can't, folks, I love fish. Michelle, if we go out to a restaurant, what do I get just about every single time if it's decent and if it's on the menu?
Yeah, some sort of fish.
I get fish every single time because I can't, well, I don't grow fish. So, and I love fish. But if it isn't a fish that came out of the Atlantic, and even there, I'm a little suspect. Last time I knew, every bluefin tuna they were pulling out of there was blowing up with Geiger counter readings. Probably. That was, John B. Wells talked about that almost a decade ago.
And he still talks about it too. He still talks about the damage from that Fukushima is still doing.
But see what happens is that the new thing happens and everybody forgets about the, and look, this is a very short list, as you well know. like you said, that thing that happened in Ohio, it's, I mean, the damage from that, I don't even know that they have calculations for. Nobody's talking about that. And that J.D. Vance, who just got nominated for vice, I mean, he was out there swimming in the stream or whatever, walking around in it. Well, he may not. You know what? If he's looking to be a successor, well, if that stuff was really that bad, he may not be. I mean, depending on, you know, how bad of a dose he got. So, folks, what I'm getting at here is everybody here is waiting for the next shoe to drop. Now, you got people out there, the prognosticators of fear, doom, fear porn, whatever the case may be, or people who are just playing minions pretending to be the regular everyday guy. Now, I'm not saying these people are, but I'm saying you just take, as a collective, you take Dan Bongino, former Secret Service guy, worked on Fox News, and I don't trust him as far as I can throw him, even though a lot of people, I think he's just another version of Sean Hannity. And I find it curious that throughout this whole assassination thing, trust me, I'm going somewhere with this. You know, you and I were listening to his latest program on the way home, and he's saying, I'm like, okay, you're talking about a whole lot of, you got to believe, you got to be a coincidence theorist to espouse what I heard him say. At some point, you got to say, there's a whole lot of coincidences here.
Yeah.
It's like when you meet a person and you know they're a liar because they always have a coincidence.
Yeah.
That just happens to pop up. So after a while, you're like, okay, either a whole, like there was a guy I worked with named Matt. About a nickel for every single time this dude said his alternator went out. He forgot the lie he was telling. He did it. And then when he was working for me, I remember answering the phone. I knew he was calling in. I said, let me guess, alternator went out. Like, dude, do you not know that I heard you use that thing 10 times already to other people? But the point being, you got all these coincidences going on. You know, Bongino, security specialist, right? But he can't see the truth of what happened over there when Israel clearly stood down regarding that whole thing that happened over there with Hamas. You don't know what the I don't know what the truth is. Nobody knows what the truth is. But you got to ask yourself, how is it you can see this so clearly or not clearly, and you're as blind as a bat when it came to what happened over there? Now you got Alex Jones. He's telling everybody, okay, you know what? The deep state's after this guy. They're going to murder him no matter what. Don't be surprised if they set off a nuke to get this dude. And he's absolutely positively sure about it. Mike Adams, same thing. It's like, now, take all these guys and then listen to the people you haven't heard of before. The people that don't have audiences anywhere near as big. And look at their credentials and overlay it with the credentials of the people I just said. Some of these guys are Navy SEALs. They got audiences on Rumble. Other guys are, I mean, there was another guy, has a former SAS. I mean, people that are really know the nuts and bolts of all this. And all of them, every last one of them is asking critical questions about this, about that, about that, about this. And they're not willing to be spoon-fed. I don't care what you saw. I wasn't there. Just happened to have a guy or gal who recorded a bullet just whizzing, just happened to be using the exact perfect camera to catch the slow-mo of a bullet whizzing right by his head. That's a coincidence too, huh? Yeah. It looked to me like a couple of planes hit the Twin Towers. Now we're hearing things, or a plane ran into a Pentagon. But now all these years later, we're saying, huh, footage seems a little bit weird now. How is it the nose cone is going through a building and coming out the other side of it? On an aluminum aircraft hits a steel building, but the nose cone and the whole fuselage in the front is coming out the other end of the building. But everybody, despite having been lied to, you know, Pulse nightclub shooting, man, if I had a nickel for that one. Or how about the Sandy hoax? The one that went on there, check out the work of a guy named Wolfgang Halbig. And he proves beyond all doubt, if you examine his work, and that's in parentheses there, if you examine his work, that everything you were told was a manufactured lie. Everything you hear, what did you just say a minute ago, honey? If you hear it on the news, are you going to believe it?
No.
Why? Because everything you've been told about everything has been told to you by prostitute, profligate liars. All of them. And some of these people, believe it or not, despite them doing the red, white, and blue, rah, 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 these people, a lot of them are just straight up polecats. Not saying all those guys are. I'm not believing necessarily Mike Adams is, but the other two guys, I'm thinking are shills to some extent or another. And it's painfully obvious to me when you can look, if you have any security background at all, and you can look at any of those events that happened over there that we were told happened on October 6th, and you believe that, and you're a security expert, you're either a shill, a liar, or blind. Yeah, I said it. And that's exactly what I'm talking about. Now, I said all that to say this. Everybody's focused on the next shoe to drop. I mean, folks, I had some private conversations. If I said the names of some of these people, you'd know. And what they're realizing is that people right now are in their hidey hole like you would not believe. Well, they're actually doing one of two things. They're either going on nonstop vacations. They're unaware of any of this. And you know those people as well as I do.
I would say that that's probably most people. Most people, their answer to when things could possibly be going wrong is, well, I just don't listen to it. It's to stick their head into a hole. And
we know a lot of those people. Or people that think that just because you surrender, and many of you in the sound of my voice right now, you might surrender your understanding or judgment just because a person has a platform, just because you hear me on this microphone, it is automatically, by virtue of me being behind this microphone, it is automatically an appeal to authority in your brain. I guarantee it. And it's the same thing that happens with all these other people that have shows. It is an appeal to authority, meaning that you surrender your own understanding and judgment because you heard a person with a platform tell you that this is the way it's going down. Remember, the strategy of fear, that's what's going down right now. But fearful people do stupid things. I mean, I've done it before myself. How many stupid decisions have I made in my life because I governed my decision-making with fear? Or maybe it was emotion. But once you get an understanding of these things and you understand how they affect you, maybe you can look at these things a little bit differently. So here's what I'm going to speak very generically, but I know I'm right. Fear is permeating the zeitgeist like nothing I've ever seen before. How is that evident? Well, go to the East Tennessee Homestead Alliance. You have some very, very consequential people out here teaching some incredible things. And there weren't near as many people in this thing than should have been. Now, part of that is social media is doing all it can in terms of YouTube. You and I were just on a phone call with somebody else that admitted the same thing. Whether in YouTube, in every other place out there, if you were doing something that might alleviate somebody's fear, you're being shadow banned. Those videos, if you're doing anything to empower somebody, you're being shadow banned. These things aren't getting out there. And people just aren't getting the memo. But I'll tell you what else. People are suffering. Like, for example, I had Joel on the other day. Would you or would you not admit that this is like a dream team of people?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Positively a dream team of people.
I mean, any one of those people, I would pay that amount of money to see. Just one person.
Just one. Just one of them. And the fact that they're all there at that same time is astonishing.
And Darren Doherty, like, you don't get to see him very, like, you better go see him when you get the opportunity because it might not come around again.
Never again in your lifetime. I mean, just that guy alone is somebody I've been wanting to see forever in a day. Absolute genius in so many different ways. And so is everybody else there. But very few people are signed up yet. Yeah. I couldn't believe it when I was sitting there talking to Joel. I'm like, man, Michelle is so excited to go to this thing. And now you're telling me you're going to pass your ticket off to me, which ain't going to happen. And I was like, because when it came up, you were like, we better hurry up and get tickets.
Yeah, I was thinking it was going to sell out
like lickety split.
Right.
But everybody is so fearful right now that you're passing up extraordinary opportunities to do some extraordinary things. Because look, if you are fearful, ask yourself why. Okay. Problem, reaction, solution. Let me just break this down. The Hegelian dialectic, or a thesis, antithesis, or synthesis. So they create a problem. Okay. That's the problem. The reaction, I'm going to break this down in a nutshell. You may not have ever heard before. The reaction is either anger, fear, or both. Nobody ever talks about that part. Problem, reaction, solution. It's always problem. They create a problem. The reaction is fear, anger, or both. And then they come marching in with the solution.
Yeah.
It came out from a dude named Hegel. Go check it out. Hegelian dialectic thesis. It's called different things, but that's essentially it. Problem, reaction, solution. But nobody ever talks about what that reaction is. The reaction is always fear. What did I just tell you fearful people do? Stupid things.
Or they don't do anything.
That's right.
They're paralyzed with fear.
That's right. So talking about everything all the way back from Fukushima, I mean, the list is long. And it's increasing. So you know that they are sowing fear out there to keep you from taking action. And that's why I'm saying, that's why this title is, are you thinking about the next shoe? Folks, don't think about that. You don't be a counterpuncher. Usually the one that gets off first in a fight wins, okay? It's usually the person that initiates the action. And I'm not in any way saying anybody be violent. What I'm trying to say is don't wait for these things to come up to start setting yourself up for success. When William goes out and does a consultation, one of the key things he teaches is, okay, do you have like 6 months of food put back? Okay, before we start talking about all these other things, because what if whatever jumps off that you're worried about, and you'll find out 9 times out of 10, they don't have it. Now, some people do. So before you spend all this money on fruit trees that are going to take a couple of years to come around, or survival seeds, which don't get me started on that, before you go spending money on all that, maybe you ought to think about, do I have water? Do I have access? Do I have structures? Like that shirt Eric Sider sells. Water, access, do I have those things in place? Do I have, remember, in preparedness, 2 is 1 and 1 is none. Do I have multiple sources of those things? You need to be asking those questions. Do you have food? Okay, I know people with freeze dryers that don't even have them. They're just collecting dust. Why are you not making a meal that's 3 times bigger and then take the leftovers and put it in your freeze dryer? Why are you not doing that? How about your weapons? You and I both know a guy, we won't say who he is, that thought he was prepared because he had handguns. Okay. I don't care how good you are with that handgun. A novice can pick you off with a .22 from 3 times that distance. But he thought he was prepared because he had handguns. And I'm like, seriously? Seriously. This was also a guy just wishing he could have a gunfight at the OK Corral, too.
Yeah, he was just hoping for a fight.
Yeah. But with that said, all of us, remember, they are putting you in this state of fear to keep you unprepared for the big thing that may or may not come. I'm going to vote for May, and almost certainly will come. I mean, just look in terms of our economy alone, okay? There's a reason why the BRICS countries, Brazil, Russia, India, China, South Africa, are getting, they had to stop membership because people were signing up right. too quick. If you can't see this dollar is about to go the way of the dodo, I don't know what to tell you. So if that being the case, I'm saying, okay, I just created a problem. Your dollar is going to be worthless. So your reaction is fear, typically. Well, does it have to be? Instead of fear, maybe you ought to say, okay, there's the problem. Where's my solution? If my dollars ain't going to be worth nothing here before long, if inflation's only going to go higher, would I be better served putting brand new tires on my car? Would I be better served taking a little bit of money out of this account and growing myself some perennials?
Right.
Which you're big on.
Yeah.
You want to tell everybody why?
Perennials, you invest in them one time and they keep coming back year after year after year, which saves you time, which saves you money. It also saves you time because you don't have to start seeds every spring, plant them, save your seeds, restart them. You plant it one time and you've got food for years in some cases.
Yeah, in most cases. I mean, it's just, it's mind-boggling, but every homesteader's out there concentrating completely, it seems, on annuals.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's say you're in a tactical position. Let's say you have, okay, like what we put in today, like Chinese yams. It's not the best time of year to do it, but, you know, I'm putting them in just the same because I got them. So I'm putting those in. Those are something, if you were to take Chinese yams and plant them up to every tree in a public place, 10 out of 10 people won't even know what's growing at the base of it. They're going to think it's poison oak.
Yeah, they wouldn't eat it anyway, even if they knew what was.
Even if they knew. But there it is. You got yourself a perennial that nobody knows about. In most cases, you could grow sweet potatoes in plain sight, and people would think it was just ivy. You could grow potatoes in plain sight. But yeah, those are annuals, but you get the point here. I mean, there are other perennials you could put in their place. My point being is that you could be having perennials all the way around you that nobody else knows about. So instead of concentrating on all this fear that these people are sowing, and even some of the minions that we think are our friends, they're doing the very same thing, or they're steering you in a place. I mean, Michelle, you pointed out something yesterday. What do we have coming up next week? The Olympics.
Oh, yeah. And nobody, like, I've heard a couple things about it, but like, nobody's talking about it. And then you've got the whole thing that's going on in France. Like, I don't know. Like, usually the Olympics are a pretty big deal. And I've heard like two things about it.
Well, it just occurred to me when you brought that up. It just occurred to me. I'm like, okay. Powers that shouldn't be. A lot of people are asking a lot of critical questions about this so-called assassination attempt, no matter where you come down on it. I was just wondering, if somebody wanted to change the topic, the Olympics would be probably a pretty good place for them to do it. So don't be shocked. I mean, France is already in a roar about this and that, and they got every right to be, every reason to be. So it wouldn't shock me if another, you know, we have all these coincidences that supposedly happened around this so-called assassination or whatever it was. Folks, I'm not even taking a position yet on this because everything I know about it has been told to me by liars. Yeah. At the end of the day, problem, reaction, solution. I'm like, okay, whatever just went down, that's why I'm so glad I didn't even talk about it on Monday. That's why I'm glad I had Joel on there. And folks, this is exactly, we said all this to say the following. Look, I'm going to make you aware of the things that are going on in this world that maybe you almost certainly know about already. But look, just like one of my commanders told me back when I was in the military, don't ever bring me a problem to which you have not already provided two solutions for. That's like the standing rule around here. And that's exactly the way we're going to do it in this podcast and in whatever social media we have. Now, right now, some people are predicting that channels are being scuffed off of there. It just happened to the Texas boys. They just got demonetized. Bear Independent, I know they did something to him. And the people that would ask critical questions about this are going to be blacklisted. So expect it. It's going to happen. But that being the case, they can't get us all. I mean, there's somebody out there somewhere waving a banner. Every single time they come up with some garbage. And that's what this is, y'all. It's just, the way I see it, it's just problems. They're not providing any solutions. Can you name one? Name one of the people I just talked about. Whether it was, now, in fairness, Mike Adams does provide solutions. I'll give him that. You hear Bongino or Alex Jones talking about solutions? Or are they just telling you the problem? So when I find people that are doing that, I'm always asking myself, do they have an ulterior motive? Are there other things going on out there that they're talking about that they're leaving out critical portions of? Those are things you got to think about, y'all, and trust your own judgment. I can't stress that enough. The Lord gave you a brain for a reason. Just because you hear me on this microphone does not give me a greater share of common sense than you have in your own life. So don't just trust my judgment. I'm asking you to seriously consider the things that are going on in this world and ask yourself, do they make sense and how can I mitigate them? All right, we're not going to get into the Q&A tonight because, frankly, I got some email problems once again. But, y'all, hopefully this has been a blessing to you. Until next time, stay alert.
Stay alive.
I was catching the worm.